It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday, April 19th. I'm Ben Johnson. The primordial web and the internet was a messy, beautiful place. Free, open, and its users were full of hope. And then the money-hungry creators of platforms like Facebook and YouTube and beyond screwed it up. That's according to Jonathan Taplin, who is a tour manager for the band Bob Dylan and a film producer for Martin Scorsese. Now he's the author of a book out this week. It's called Move Fast and Break Things: How Facebook, Google, and Amazon Cornered Culture and Undermined Democracy. Jonathan, thanks for chatting. I thought the digital world was the Wild West.
Well, the internet started out as a very kind of libertarian, but in some sense, almost communitarian hippie project. But what happened was in the late 80s, a group of kids came out of Stanford University led by Peter Thiel and Larry Page, who had a very different view. They were schooled with Ayn Rand's philosophy, and they believed that the only way to make money in an internet world was to create monopolies. And the notion was internet was a business that could scale so big that winners take all. And that's what ended up happening. Today, the largest companies in the world are all tech companies. And they end up taking most of the money out of the ecosystem before it gets to the artists.
Doesn't the internet, though, also give a lot of power to smaller entities by democratizing their ability to be found online, to create their own stuff and deliver it unto the world?
No, that's kind of a myth. In the music business last year, 80% of all the revenue went to 1% of the content. Jay-Z and Taylor Swift and Beyonce did really well, but there's no such thing as a middle-class musician anymore. And the fact that you can't make any money off of digital content just doesn't make any sense to me.
You're a guy who, in a way, has his roots in counterculture, at least a creative reaction to the mainstream, right? Working for Scorsese, tour manager for Dylan and the band. Yet, in a way, this book feels a little bit like a get-off-my-lawn manifesto at points.
Yeah,
are you just sort of like mad at the internet?
No, look. I am not a technophobe. I just believe nobody voted on these rules of how these companies were able to capture your data. All I'm saying is we should rethink that.
Do you think Bob Dylan would make it in post-internet world?
You know, his first album only sold 4,000 copies in the first 3 years. So he probably would have been dropped by his label in this day and age.
Well, he wouldn't need one in this day and age, right?
That, again, is a myth.
Fair enough. Jonathan Taplin, his new book is called Move Fast and Break Things. Jonathan, thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
This week, we are looking at communities all over the country that are trying to become the next big tech hub. Instead of watching all of their money, talent, and ideas head to Silicon Valley, Boston, and New York. Well, when we went to the Beyond San Francisco-focused event Rise of the Rest in Washington, D.C. recently, we met a guy named Doug Nichols, who co-founded an online marketplace for secondhand children's clothing called Kidizen. And Doug used to be in Silicon Valley, but then he moved to Minneapolis. I asked him why he left San Francisco.
Been there, done that. I spent a bunch of my career in Silicon Valley and intentionally moved to Minneapolis to be a co-founder of a startup in Minneapolis because of what I saw as an incredibly promising community and a great place to build a business.
You don't think you could be bigger in another city by being closer to capital, closer to more talent? I'm making air quotes, higher quality talent. You really think that the place where you are is the place that your company needs to be?
Yeah, I do. No, I don't think that we would be a better business in San Francisco. In fact, I think that there's distinct advantages to being in Minneapolis and attracting talent. The talent in Minneapolis tends to be more loyal. Midwestern loyalty. Hardworking, great, intelligent people. My experience in the Bay Area tends to be I'll vest a year and I'll bounce around. So you get loyal people who will get committed and really be a part of the team, the organization, the mission. We just closed a Series A financing round in early March, and we're currently hiring. Our team was 5. We're going to 15, and we've got 10 people right now and hiring another 5 in the short term.
Doug, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Doug Nichols of the online secondhand children's clothing retailer Kidizen. And this Saturday is Earth Day, one way to celebrate a new totally revamped Google Earth. You know, that global satellite image program that most people seem to have used for one thing.
There's actually this, we call it the classic Google Earth problem, where people search for their house and then they don't know what to do next.
That's Gopal Shah, the product manager for Google Earth at an unveiling in New York this week. Google Earth now suggests places to explore. The tallest mountains, the bars where Ernest Hemingway used to hang out. It builds the maps by stitching together tens of millions of high-resolution images taken by satellites and planes.
It takes special pains to get this imagery because you have to do it on a cloud-free day. So it took us a long time to get London.
Oh, London, never change. The company apparently has gotten imagery of 98% of the planet. The other 2% of the planet is hidden under tinfoil hats. Okay, maybe not, but it would be tough to blame them. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.